All right, Tibo, say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off yesterday. Today's daf is Lamed Tes. We left off on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So if you remember again, we left off. Let's pick up Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba Amar Reb Yochanan. Four lines up from the bottom. Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba Amar Reb Yochanan. Kevan Sheyatzu Rov Shnosav Shal Adam. Velo Chata. Once most of the years of man's life have already elapsed and he has not sinned, so that the Gemara says he won't sin anymore. Meaning once he's lived the majority of his life avoiding sin, he will not come to sin. Shene emar, ragle chasidov yishmar. Because the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches the ragle chasidov. Now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Shuvena chote, shnei maragli chasid of yishmar, sofe chasid of yishmar." So the way the Gemara is understanding over here, the word ragle is that ragle means the end, just like the raglayim, the feet, are the end of the body, so to speak. So, meaning a person who goes there and spends the beginning of his life in avoidance of sin will ultimately live out the end of his life without sin as well. The Bei Rabbi Shila Amri Kevan Shebaal Yodo Dvar Aveira. Parmishona Ushnia, the Inochote. So now you have the Inishira Bishila. They're saying once a person has been tempted to sin one time, two times, and he's avoided it. So the chazoka is that he's not going to go ahead and come to sin again. So the Gemara says, how do we know that? Shin Emar, because the Pasuk says, Ragle Chasidov Yishmar. Because the Pasuk says he will watch the regalim literally of his chasid. Now, what does this mean in this context? Look at Rashi. He says, Kevan parmishona ushnia, ragle chasidov, mishehinhig bechased shnei regalim. Once a person has conducted himself with chasid, i.e. avoided sin twice, if that's the case, says Rashi, kimo zeh shalosh regalim, pa'amayim, yishmar osa minachid. So once a person almost has created, you know, this machlokis in the Gemara, as to whether or not chazaka is established with two or with three. So what the Gemara seems to be saying is once a person establishes a chazaka with two, the mice, again, that's a chazaka that he's not going to come to sin again with this particular matter. So the Gemara goes on, Amrei Shlakish, Mai Dichsev, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Im Laleitzim Hu Yolitz, Ula Anovim Yitein Chein. What does the pasuk mean when it says that for the mockers, he will mock, and to the humble, he will give grace? So the Gemara darshins, Bo litame, if a person comes to defile himself, poschinlo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the door for him. Look at Rashi. Poschinlo, Pesach hatuma likonispo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the opportunity, the Pesach, for him to walk into, maspikin biyado, ve'in monin mimeno min ha'shrayim la'akvo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person wants to go ahead and defile himself, a person wants to sin, the Ribono Shalom is not going to stop him from doing that. However, Balitair, if a person comes to purify himself, Messiah also, then ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu assists him from above. So we'll see an interesting distinction there also. When it comes to the commission of sin, the Ribono Shalom doesn't stand in my way. He's not going to help me, he's not going to assist me, but at the same time, he's going to give me the free will to do what it is that I want to do. But yet when it comes to ultimately purifying myself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu actively helps me in that process. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, Mashal Adam Shahaya Mocher Naft Vafar Simon. This could be compared to a person who was selling naft. So naft, Rashi points out, is a foul-smelling substance. And Afar Simon is balsam oil. Beautiful-smelling substance. Top of Lamedes. Ba Limdod Naft. So if a customer comes in and wants to buy naft, so what does the proprietor say? Omer lo, midod atali atzmicha. So the proprietor says, listen, you go measure out your own naft. Measure out your own, meaning I'm not going to get smelly going ahead and measuring you. You measure it out and tell me what you get. But if he comes to purchase balsam oil, Omer lo, the proprietor says to him, hamtein li at she'emdod imcha. Wait until I can go ahead and measure with you. Why? Kedishin is basem ani va'ata, in order that both you and I could become fragrant from the balsam oil. So we'll say the nimshal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says a person wants to defile themselves, makes themselves foul smelling. That you're going to do on your own, God. It's not going to be a part of that. You make your own decision. But you want to do a mitzvah. You want to do something beautiful. You want to go and make yourself fragrant with spirituality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let me be a part of that as well. Because when you become fragrant, God says, I become fragrant as well. He goes on, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, Avera mitamtemes libo shel adam. It says there's such a profound yisod. Sin mitamtemes literally means creates an obstruction. Sin creates an obstruction on the heart of man. Look at Rashi. He says mitamtemes otemes visosemes mikol chachma. It literally seals off the heart from all wisdom. Shene emar, because the pasuk says velo sitam ubahem, you shall not defile yourself with them. Vinitmesem bam. And you will become defiled with them. So the Gemara says, "Al tikrivin it mesim ella unitamtam." Rather, read it as, "Don't defile yourself with sin," and because if you do, you will become obstructed to it. We'll say it's a very profound yisod that often we assume. In our Soloveitchik discusses. Soloveitchik discusses that sin has two effects. There's onesh. Every sin brings punishment. There's always onesh. And there's also what the Rav calls tumah. Tumah means a person defiles their personality. A person defiles their personality. The Gemara's thing over here is we often think that the impact of sin is limited to the commission of the act or to the onus. It's not true. Sin fundamentally changes who we are. Oh, that's right, exactly. Right? Everything we do changes who we are and ultimately has an impact on our personality to the point that sin impairs our judgment. Sin impairs our morals, because obviously sin damages your moral compass. When your moral compass is damaged, your judgment is impaired. That's what it means, unitamtem. Tan Rabbanon, al titamu bahem, vinitmesem bam. The pasuk says, do not go ahead and defile yourself with sin, because you will become defiled in it. Now, what the Gemara is picking up on over here is that last piece seems repetitive. Obviously, if the Torah is telling me, do not become tame with sin, that means if I commit sin, then what? Then I will become tame. Why does the pasuk feel the need to state that last part? So the Gemara says, here's why. Adam mitame atzmo ma'at. If a person defiles himself a little bit, mitamin oso harbe. We defile him a lot. Now, what does that mean? That look at Rashi. Mitamin oso harbe. Manichen oso litame harbe. V'hachi kamakra al titamu bahen. Vim titamu sofenit mesim. A person sometimes just has a kavona for a shtick defilement, right? A little bit of defilement. I don't plan on really sullying my entire personality. So we often know that's not the dynamic of sin. The dynamic of sin is even if a person has in mind only for a little bit of defilement, ultimately a lot more avera follows. Furthermore, mitamin milamato, a person just decides that, you know what, the impact of my sin is only going to be felt here. Mitamin oso milamalo, he's defiled above. Ba'olam hazeh, a person has in mind that the impact of his sin should only be felt in this world. Mitamin oso li olam haba. The chait ultimately follows him into the world to come. We'll say the Gemara Masechta Sota refers to a chait as a kelef hakaruchba. You know what happens if you feed a stray dog? So it's going to follow you. So the Gemara says, like, chait is like a stray dog. You know, once you feed your yetzahara, it is going to follow you around everywhere, both in this world as well as in the next. So the idea over here is, so two different ways of darshaning the same pasuk. The first thing the Gemara wanted to say, don't defile yourself, because if you do, vinitamtem, instead of reading it, vinitmesem, vinitamtem. If you engage in chait, chait ultimately, it impairs your judgment. Second drasha is, al titamu bahem, don't defile yourself, because if you do, vinitmesem bam, you will find yourself stuck in a downward spiral of continued sin. I'm sorry. So tshuva, of course, could obstruct this process. Tshuva changes things. But this is the absence of tshuva. Tan Rabbanan, v'hiskadashtem v'yisem kidoshim. You have to understand something, that most people don't engage in real tshuva. People engage in partial tshuva. But real cathartic, comprehensive, life-changing tshuva, a lot of people miss that particular boat, unfortunately. People, it's much easier to do the tshuva that avoids the onesh than the tshuva that ultimately brings about the tara. Tan Rabbanan, v'hiskadashtem v'yisem kidoshim. A person should sanctify himself, or you shall be holy, or literally, you shall make yourself holy and you will be holy. What does that mean? So I'll say this is the opposite of what we just said before. Adam mekadish atzmo ma'at, mekadshin osa harbe. I'll say if a person just engages in a little bit of holiness, what happens? Literally translated is, they sanctify him a lot. Now who's the they? The they is not necessarily the Ribon Shalom. The they is me. Meaning if I put my life on a positive trajectory and holiness becomes a value, One act openly ultimately opens the door for many other spiritual accomplishments. Milamata, if I sanctify myself here in this world or below, Mikachin Oso Milamala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu confers additional sanctity on me from above. Ba'olam Hazeh, if a person engages in holiness in this world, Mikachin Oso the Olam Haba, that holiness will follow me into the world to come. Hadron Allah, Amr Lahem, Hamamuna. New parak will say, Taraf Bakalfi, Vehela Shnei Gorolos, Echad Kasav Alav Lashem. The echod kasav alav la'azazel. So I will say, literally translate. So we've already spoken about some of these things before. The kalfi is the box. That's the box that held the two lots. Remember, this is talking about the process of the shniyasim, the two goats. One is going to be offered up as a carbon on the mizbeach, and one is going to be pushed off the cliff in azazel. So remember, the two lots are drawn from a wooden box. So now the Mishnah says, taraf bakalfi literally means that the Kohen seized. Taraf means to grab something quickly. So he quickly grabbed the lots from the box. On one of the lots, it said, Kadosh LaHashem. It said LaHashem, or LaShem, for God. And on the other, it said LaAzazel. Okay. Hasgan biyamino, Virosh Beis Av Bismolo. So what happens? The assistant Kohen Gadol was on the Kohen Gadol's right, and the head of the Rosh Beis Av was on the left. Im Shel Shem Allah Biyamino Hasgan Omerlo Ishi Kohen Gadol Hag Biyamincha. So now imagine this scene. So now remember, there's one box, only two lots. Now what's interesting about this is the following. It's clear from the Mishnah that what the Kohen Gadol would do is he would simultaneously draw the two lots. So he would take one out with his right hand, one out with his left hand. And what would happen? So remember, the Skan, the assistant Kohen Gadol, is standing on his right. The head of the Kohanic family who's on call is standing on his left. So what happens? Im Shal Shem, Allah Biyamino, if the lot that said Lashem comes up in his right hand, Haskan, the assistant Kohen Gadol, would say to him, Omer lo Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yemincha. So the assistant Kohen Gadol would say to the Kohen Gadol, Sir Kohen Gadol, raise your right hand. V'im shal shem Allah bismolo. And if the lot with the shame with that said Lashem came up in his left hand, Rosh Beis Av Omer lo Ishi Kohen Gadol Hagbe Smolcha. And if again the lot that said Lashem came up in his left hand, so ultimately again the Rosh Beis Av, the head of the Kohanic family who was on call that day, would say Ishi Kohen Gadol, raise your left hand. Essentially, whichever side the lot Lashem comes up, so the person standing on that side tells the Kohen Gadol, raise your hand, raise your hand. Nasnan Ashni Asirim. So then he literally placed the lots on each of the goats, right? Placed each lot on each respective goat. Va'omer, and he says, La'ashem chatos. And he makes an active verbal designation, and he says, the animal that drew the lot, the animal for which he drew the lot, La'ashem, he would go ahead and say, La'ashem chatos. This animal is designated for Hashem as a chatos. Rabbi Shmuel says, Lo hayot sarich lomar chatos, ela La'ashem. Rabbi Shmuel says he didn't have to say chatos, rather he just had to say Lashem. Vehein onun achrav, and they would respond after him, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolam Ba'ed. And Rabbi says we've already established in the previous Gemara that any time the Kohen Gadol would say the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the response to that would be Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolam Ba'ed. Fine. Says the Gemara. Lamali Torah. So Rabbi says the Gemara asks, the lashon of the Mishnah is that the Kohen Gadol doesn't just draw the lots. Rather, what does he do? He grabs the lots. So why does the Kohen Gadol have to grab the lots? Lama li tarf pakalfi, ki hechi delo nechavein v'lishko. I will say, what don't we want the Kohen Gadol doing? We don't want him feeling around in the box for the one that says Lashem. Now, why would he be feeling around in the box for the one that says Lashem? Look at Rashi, I will say. Rashi says, Deloni Chavin, Shelo Yemashmesh Lahavin Bimishmusho, Eze Shal Shem Vietlenu Biyamin. Because we don't want him feeling around the box with his right hand and finding the one that says Lashem and Lashem and drawing that one. Why? Lefishu Simin Yafa kishu ole biyamin. Abbasi, we'll see the Gemara will talk about this, that it was considered to be a simin yafe, a good omen, when the Kohen Gadol would draw the lot that said Lashem with his right hand. With his right hand. So therefore, we don't, but again, it's only an omen, obviously, if what? If it happens, it kind of on its own. If the Kohen Gadol is feeling around in there, and you know, because remember, we'll say, understand that we will see this later on, these lots, Lashem and La'azazel, were written in raised letters. In raised letters. So technically speaking, you could feel around. Now we'll discuss, which very interesting is, we'll see later on, according to some opinions, what actually happened is you had the lot, and remember, these are not pieces of paper. These were. We'll see, they could be made out of anything, but sometimes they were wood, sometimes they were gold. But at some point in time in history, it seems to be they had, I don't know what you'd call it, I guess like a pivot and like a cover. That's not the pivot is the wrong word. A hinge and the cover, so that they were literally covered, so that the Kohen Gadol would not be able to feel around on what's there. So therefore, the Mishnah says, so therefore, Taraf Bakalfi. We say, Kohen Gadol, put your hand in, pull it out. Pull it out. Just whatever you get, pull it out. Because we don't want you feeling around for the one that says, Lashem. Because the two goats are standing on its two sides. Right, correct. Just like you have the skan on the right, the Rosh Beis Av on the left. There's one goat on the right, one goat on the left. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rava, Kalfi shall eat Haisa. The in fact, I could show you. It's a very small picture, but just to give you the. It's a very small picture. But. Like I said, it's a small picture. Mm-hmm. But you can see over here, you have the Kohen Gadol standing by the stand with the box of the lots, the skan on his right, the Rosh Beis Av on his left, and a goat standing in front of each of them. So that's how he knew which one
which
was
way
which.
Is the Kohen facing?
We'll discuss it actually. The Kohen is actually facing now towards the Heichal. He's facing towards the Beis HaMikdash proper. Well, actually, we're going to get to that. So the Gemara says the following: Kalfi shall Amar Rav, Kalfi shall Eitzaisa. The box in which they kept the lots was made out of wood, the shelchol haisa, and it was not a consecrated utensil. The eima mechazekes elishtei adayim, and it was only able to, you could only fit two hands in there. Because remember, again, as you mentioned before, the Kohen Gadol is simultaneously drawing two lots. We don't want him to have too much wiggle room in there, because then he could begin to feel out the lots. So it could fit two hands in there. Maskip l'Ravina, tishlam eima mechazekes elishtei adayim. So Ravina said, I understand why you only wanted to be able to hold the Kohen's two hands. Because as you mentioned before, you don't want the Kohen feeling around to pick out, the dafka pick out the one that says, Lashem, Ela Shalchol, Nikatsha. But why is this box a non-consecrated vessel? Why don't you consecrate it? Why don't you make it Kodesh? So the Gemara says, Ela Shalchol, Nikatsha. So we'll say, because then what's going to happen? If you consecrate, it becomes a klisharis. Rabbi says, klisharis is the name for any utensil that's used in temple service, but there's only one problem. Klisharis cannot be made of wood. Klisharis must be either made of gold or silver. So says Gemara says, fine. Benavda kesef, benavda dezav. So what's the big deal? So make it out of gold, make it out of silver. What does the Gemara say? Hatorah chasa, Al Mamonan Shal Yisrael. The Torah is very careful with our money. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to demand of us to make a utensil out of gold that's not necessary. Also, the obvious kasha with this is, but we have, right, the Beis HaMikdash is gold. So what the Gemara seems to be saying is the following. Things that are not necessary for Avoda, the Torah does not demand of us to go above and beyond. But the parts of the temple service that are absolutely necessary parts of Avodah, then we have an obligation, of course, Zekhi, Liva, and Veyu, to beautify mitzvos. But this Kalfi, which was not, again, the drawing of the lot is important, and we'll see if it's an Avodah or not. But Lamais, again, the box itself is not considered to be a klisharis. Once it's not a klisharis, there's no need to go ahead and fashion it out of gold or silver. Mas nisin deloki aitana. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of the following Tana. This Sanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer, so what do they say? Haskan the Kohen Gadol, machnisin yodon bekalfi. Rabbi said, listen to this. So here you have now a brisa quoting Rabbi Eliezer, who understands this process a little bit differently. In this process, you have not the Kohen Gadol putting in two hands, but rather what? The Kohen Gadol putting in his right hand, and the Skan putting in his right hand. The Kohen Gadol and the Skan each draw one lot. And what happens? Im biyamino shel Kohen Gadol ola. So if the lot that says Lashem comes up in the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, Haskan Omer lo, the Skan says to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hag beyimincha. Sir Kohen Gadol, lift up your right hand. V'im biyamino shel Skan ola. But if the lot that says Lashem comes up in the right hand of the Skan, so listen to this, Rosh Beis Av Omer lo. Omer lo, the Kohen Gadol, Daber Milacha. So the Rosh Beis Av will say to the Kohen Gadol, speak your words. Meaning Abosai, meaning that the Kohen Gadol, the Rosh, in this case, where the Skan pulled the lot that said La Hashem, so now the Rosh Beis Av will say to the Kohen Gadol, new Kohen Gadol, declare that animal as the animal La Hashem. Benema Le Skan. So why doesn't the Skan say, meaning, why don't we just have it done, why don't we have a uniform process where the Skan is always announcing everything? To which the Gemara says, Kivan de lo salak biadei chol shadaite. Because the Kohen Gadol is going to be upset, meaning not upset, but the Kohen Gadol, chol shadaite literally means is almost like a saddened. The Kohen Gadol will be a little bit depressed if the lot Lashem did not come up in his hands. So therefore, Abosai, again, if you have a situation where essentially the Skan Kohen Gadol is pulling up the lot Lashem, to then have the Skan Kohen Gadol say to the Kohen, nu, go ahead and call it, would be like a chalishas hadas, would be like a sad thing. Because remember also, we've already seen before, there is this tension between the Kohen Gadol and the Skan. Not like a negative tension, but remember, the guy standing to your right is who? Is the guy who's pretty much ready to take your job. He's your replacement. I mean, imagine going into work every single day, and the guy who's ready to replace you is sitting in the cubicle next to you. Mamish, and he's just waiting there, right? Just go ahead, he's waiting. So the idea over here is for the Kohen Gadol. Remember, as we just said before, it's a simon tov for the Kohen Gadol himself to draw the lot in the right hand. If he did not draw it and the Skan drew it, and then the Skan's going to tell the Kohen Gadol, nu, go ahead and call it. So it's a chalisha sadas. That's a difficult thing for the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, to almost like ameliorate the difficulty of the Kohen Gadol, we don't have the Skan announce it. Instead, we have the Rosh Beis Av say to the Kohen Gadol, call it. So the Gemara said, but my come if the Gemara. So we'll say, now what's interesting is, according to this approach, Rabbi Eliezer has a very different process for the drawing of the lots than the Mishnah. According to the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol is drawing both lots. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the Kohen Gadol and the Skan are each inserting their right hand into the Kalfi, and each one is drawing one lot. So what are they arguing about? Mar Savar Yemina Diskan Adif Mismali the Kohen Gadol. Umar Savar Kiadadininhu. So we'll say, apparently Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's better to use the right hand of the Skan than the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. Meaning the right has chashivos, therefore we'd rather have two rights than a left. Two rights than a left. Whereas the Mishnah holds, no, that the left hand of the Kohen Gadol is equivalent to the right hand of the Skan Kohen Gadol. Uman hai taina de poligale, and who is the taina that ultimately argues with him? To poligale Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. This is so. Who meaning? So essentially, who is the opinion of our Mishnah? The opinion of our Mishnah is Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Tisanya, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer Lama Skan Miyemino. Why is the Skan? Why does the assisted Kohen Gadol stand to the right of the Kohen Gadol? Shem ira bo psul be Kohen Gadol. Nichnas Skan u'mishamish tachtov. I will say the reason why the Skan Kohen Gadol is there is because, again, should there be some type of psul with the Kohen Gadol, the Skan is ready to go ahead and jump into action. So Bosai, again, so you see over here that Lamaisa, what Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim essentially is saying is what? When is the Skan activated? Only when, if something happens to the Kohen Gadol. But if nothing happens to the Kohen Gadol, then what does the Skan do? Nothing. Which is reflected in our Mishnah. Because what is the Skan doing in our Mishnah? Nothing. The Skan is simply standing there on the right side of the Kohen Gadol with absolutely no obligations. So therefore, the Gemara is just suggesting is our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Chanina, Skan HaKohanim. So the Gemara goes right to Tana Rabbanan. Arboim Shana Sheshimesh Shimon HaTzadik. The 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik served as Kohen Gadol. Also, remember, we know about Shimon HaTzadik how through Pirkei Avos. Because, right, what do we say in Pirkei Avos? That Shimon HaTzadik haya mishayari anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So Shimon HaTzadik was one of the last remaining members of the men of the Great Assembly, which Shabbos means, what gives us various important historical context, Second Temple. So Shimon HaTzadik ultimately, again, served as Kohen Gadol for 40 years. And what happens? All the years that he served as Kohen Gadol, Haya Goral Ola B'Yamin. That was amazing. Every year that he served as Kohen Gadol, the lot that said Lashem always came up in his right hand. Mikan Ve'elech, after Shimon HaTzadik, Pamim Ola B'Yamin, Pamim Ola B'Small. Sometimes it came up right, sometimes it came up left. They're both like, this is reflective in general. You know, we read about, we learned earlier in the Masechta about the turmoil involved even in the Kahuna Gedola in the Second Temple era. So the Gemara is saying sometimes things worked out okay, sometimes they didn't. V'haya Lashon Shal Zahoris Malbin. Remember another miracle that occurred all 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik. Both say, we'll discuss this as well in depth. They used to tie a piece of red wool, crimson wool, by the horns of the Seir La'azazel, the goat that was supposed to be sent out and sent off the cliff. And what happened? When he would go ahead and as a sign of forgiveness, the red wool would turn white. All the years of Shimon HaTzadik, the red wool turned white. Mikan ve'ilach after Shimon HaTzadik, pamim malbin, pamim eno malbin. Sometimes it turned white, sometimes it didn't. V'haya ner ma'aravi dolek. We'll say another miracle. The westernmost light of the menorah remained lit longest. I will say the novelty of that is that was actually the ner that was lit first. And yet, miraculously, it was the ner that kept on burning. Again, I will say these are all just signs of divine presence. Mikan ve'ilich, from here on in, I mean, after Shimon HaTzadik, pamim dolek upamim kava. Sometimes it remained lit and sometimes it was extinguished. Furthermore, v'haya esh shel ma'aracha miskaber, v'lo hayu kohanim tzrichin lahavi etzim lema'aracha, chutz mishnei gizrei etzim. And again, another miracle, that the fire on the Mizbeach would always burn intensely, and technically, the Kohanim never had to bring additional wood. Except, remember, for the two pieces of wood that the Kohanim have to bring each and every day, kedei lekayim mitzvas etzim, because that is an explicit biblical obligation to bring those two pieces of wood. Rabbi said this refers to the fact also. So, remember, in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was mamash a fire that came down from Shamayim. That fire was not there. That fire did not descend from the heavens in the Second Temple. But apparently what the Gemara is saying is that Lemaisa, there was this miracle that the fire itself just burned intensely. However, mikan ve'ilach after Shimon HaTzadik, pamim miskaber, pamim ein miskaber. However, after Shimon HaTzadik, sometimes the fire was strong, sometimes it wasn't. V'lo hayu kohanim nimna'im melahavi etzim ma'aracha kol hayom kulo. And again, already after Shimon HaTzadik, the kohanim were busy bringing wood to the mizbeach throughout the entire day in order to keep it burning. Furthermore, v'nishtalcha bracha ba'omer u'b'shtei alechem u'b'lechem apanim. During the days of Shimon HaTzadik, there was a special blessing in the Karban HaOmer and the shtei alechem. The shtei alechem, remember, also are the two loaves on Shavuos, lechem apanim, v'chol kohen shemagia kizai. So we'll say what that bracha is could be a variety of different things. It could be, again, it could be, you know, the Mishnah in Avos says that there were 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash, and some of those miracles was there was never a psul in the Omer or Shtei Alechem, which means that they never had a problem getting barley for the Karban Omer. They never had a problem getting wheat for the Shtei Alechem. So that could be, now that Mishnah is referring to First Temple era. So it could be that some of those miracles were perpetuated under the leadership of Shimon HaTzadik as well. So the Gemara says, furthermore, V'chol kohen shemagio kizayis yesh ochlo v'savea v'yesh ochlo mosir. Rav said there was such a bracha in the lechem aponim. So what would happen? That every kohen who got a kizayis, so some people would eat the whole kizayis, some people would eat the kizayis, leave a little bit of leftover, but come denominator was the following, everyone was full. We'll say kizayis is not not insignificant, but it's certainly not a meal. So there's a special bracha over here in the food that the Kohanim became full. However, mikan ve'ilich after Shimon HaTzadik, nishtalcha me'ira ba'omer. Literally, me'ira bo'sa is like an affliction. There was Me'ira, I should say, not Me'ira. Nishtachel Me'ira, she says, She'ina Maspia. There was like a sickness or something negative that happened ultimately in the Omer, Shtei Alechem, Lechem Aponim, V'chol Kohen Magio Kipul. And what happened? The Kohanim would not get a kizayis. What would they get? The pool literally is like the size of a lentil, a bean. And what happened? Hatsinuin Moshchin Es Yedehem, V'har Gargarin Notlin V'ochlin. So what would happen? So the tznuin, meaning the kohanim, who words tznua literally means modest. So it can mean modest, it can mean humble. The humble kohanim would not eat from these things because Rabbi said they realized that if they were not, there was not really going to be enough ultimately to be sated. So ultimately, they would just refrain from it. The gargarim. I don't know what the good English word for this is. You know, it's like gargarim are like gluttonous individuals. So notlin va'ochlin, they would go ahead and take whatever they couldn't eat. Umaisa be'echad shenatal chelko v'chelek chavero. And there was once a story of a kohen who took his portion and his friend's portion. I will say, what do they call him? V'hayu korinosa. They used to call him Ben Chamson. They called him Ben Chamson. Ben Chamson literally means the son of a thief. Ad yomoso. So they called him the son of a thief until the day of his death. I will say, so the Marasha asks, he says, why do they call him the son of a thief? What should they call him? They should call him a thief. So the Marasha says something amazing. The Marasha says that when children exhibit negative character traits, the first thing you have to look at is the parents. So when this kid goes ahead, now again, it doesn't mean parents. Let's take it easy on ourselves a little bit. We're not responsible for every single thing. Our kids ultimately grow up and do have the ability to make their own decisions. But if there is a clear character flaw within the child, we have to wonder to ourselves, did they get that from their home? So apparently it was clear from the fact they call him the Ben Chamson, son of the rapper, because any person who's going to exhibit this kind of character traits, there is clearly a flaw in the chinuch of the home. Amar Rabba Bar Shila. Mikra, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Elokai, Paltini Miad Rasha. I quote this to you. So here is quoting from Tehillim. Elokai, Paltini Miad Rasha. Mikaf Ma'avel V'chomet. Literally translated, my God, save me from the hands of a Rasha. Mikaf, literally from the palm, Ma'avel. Ma'avel v'chometz. So we'll say again, v'chometz. So ma'avel, so remember, ma'avel means like an evildoer, somebody does something wrong, and chometz. Now, the only reason we know what chometz means is what? Because we just use that word chamtson above, and save me from the thief. So the Gemara says, so what the Gemara is saying over here is, where do we get that chamtson means thief? So Gemara says, I'll tell you where we get it from, because that's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. Miad chometz means from the hands of the thief, and that's why we use that word chamtson to refer to a ganav. Rav Amar Mehacha, Rav says, we learn from here, again, quoting from Yeshayahu, Limdu heitev, learn well, Dirshu mishpat, seek judgment, Ashru chamutz, Shiftu yasom rivo amana. Ashru chamutz literally means, go ahead and give support to those who have been robbed. Ashru chamotz. Ashru chamotz ve'al ta'ashru chometz. Help the one who has been robbed and do not help the one who is the robber. Okay, well, see, the only reason the Gemara is quoting this is just to show us that, again, the word chamtson means thief. Tan Rabbanan, the rabbis taught. I will say, this is an amazing Gemara. O Sashana, Shemes ba Shimon HaTzadik. In the year that Shimon HaTzadik died, Amar Lahem, he said to them, B'sha azu hu meis. So this is quite amazing. So Shimon HaTzadik knew that he was going to die that particular year. Amru lo minayin ato yodea. They said to Shimon HaTzadik, where do you know that from? How do you know you're going to die? Amar Lahem, listen to this, Rabbi say, B'chol yom kippurim, haya mizdamin li zakin echad lavush levanim, va'atov levanim. Every year, when I do the Avodah of Yom Kippur, I am always accompanied by an older man who wears white and is wrapped in white. Nichnas imi v'yatsa imi. He goes in with me to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he comes out with me from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So literally, Shimon HaTzadik is accompanied by the Ribono Shel Olam, or some visage, or some malach, someone. And this entity accompanies me when I go in and when I come out. V'hayom, and today, Nizdamin Lizakin Echad Lavush Shchorim V'atuf Shchorim. And yet today, what? Today, when I went in, I saw this zaken, but he wasn't wearing white. He was wearing black. He was wrapped in black. Nichnas imi, he went in with me to the Kodesh, velo yotze imi, and he did not come out with me from the Kodesh. Again, so obviously over here you have the black symbolic of mourning, and you have the entrance into the Kodesh representing entrance into Olam Haba. Remember, the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holy of Holies is much more part of the upper world than it is part of this world. The fact that he went in represents that Shimon HaTzadik was going to go into Olam Haba, but he was not coming back out. Acher haregel, what happens immediately? Regel over here refers to Sukkis. After Sukkis, chala shiva yamim, he got sick for 7 days, umes, and he died. And Abosha, the Gemara says, v'nimnu'u echav hakohanim milavarech b'shem. Something very interesting happened after Shimon HaTzadik died, is that they stopped going ahead and using the Shem HaMeforash. The Shem HaMeforash is the ineffable name of God. So they stopped using it after Shimon HaTzadik died. Rashi says why? Milavarech b'shem. It's the third Y line on the top. Milavarech birkas kohanim es ha'am b'shem ha'mafurash. They would not, when they would say birkas kohanim, they would not use Shem ha'mafurash. Shelo hayu kidai. Because after Shimon HaTzadik died, they did not feel that there was anyone of appropriate standing to actually be able to say. Suppose I just say something interesting based on this Gemara. You know, there's a lot of discussion if wearing black to, let's say, a levaya, is that a Jewish thing or not? Is that a Jewish thing or not? So, you know, many sources, so it's interesting, it doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not brought down anywhere in Halacha, that one is supposed to wear black. So, and again, many actually posit that Lemaisa, it doesn't necessarily have Jewish origins. But it's interesting, this Gemara clearly, some of the posts can point out, this Gemara clearly seems to be a makar that what? That Lemaisa, again, black, the wearing of black is absolutely associated with death. Granted, again, this was not a person wearing black, but clearly the way that Shimon HaTzadik, what gives away to Shimon HaTzadik that death is coming is the fact that this Zokin, this image of this elder man, is clothed in all black. Okay. Tanra Abanam, the Gemara goes weiter. Arvim shana kodim chorben habayis, lo haya gorel ola biyam. And Abosai, listen to this. For the 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that there were certain, like, telltale signs. There was certain writing on the wall that the end was near. So what were some of those? For example, lo haya gorel ola biyam. So what's, can you imagine this? For 40 years, before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, whenever the Kohen Gadol would draw the lot Lashem would never come up in his right hand. Not only that, v'lo haya lashon shel zahoris malbin, the crimson wool, and I will say, we'll actually discuss that there were actually two wools, two strings. One was actually tied by the Beis HaMikdash itself, and one was on the goat that went la'azazel. The string never turned white. Never turned right. I will say, I have to understand something. I have to understand the damage of that. You know, we when we go into Yom Kippur, obviously in the back of our mind, we always wonder to ourselves, what? Are we forgiven? Are we forgiven? But at the same time, clearly the way our Yom Noraim are set up is we are conditioned to be positive. We are conditioned to be optimistic. We are conditioned to assume that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me, that I've been forgiven, and that I've been given another year of life. You know, when you had these demonstrable displays of divine forgiveness, you know, it works in one of two ways. If it went well, they probably started the wave. You know, if it didn't go well, that is a huge burden to carry. Right? Imagine you're standing there on Yom Kippur, and the red wool does not turn white. You have a clear, tangible display that the Ribono Shel Olam has not forgiven you. Now again, that's talking about the klal. It doesn't mean necessarily as individuals. As individuals, I still have to do my own tshuva. But as a klal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is displeased with us, and we can actively see it. You could tie that, well, that's incredible, because I have direct divine feedback, which is the greatest catalyst to change. Except that historically, that doesn't seem to always have been true, right? You see the Kohen Gadol is not drawing the lot Lashem on his right hand. Now, that I don't think that's not as bad as the red wool, because the truth is that's more of an omen. The red wool is not an omen. That's a direct sign from the Ribono Shel Olam. Furthermore, v'lo hayoner ma'aravi dolek, that Western Light Rabosai, which we said again, was a simen of bracha, would not remain lit. Listen to this. And this one must have been exceptionally eerie. The gates of the Beis HaMikdash used to open on their own. So can you imagine that? Now, what did that symbolize? That symbolized the fact that the enemies of the Jewish people were going to enter into the doors were wide open for everyone. So you can imagine seeing those doors just swing open. And this is 40 years. 40 years people are seeing this happen right in front of them. Listen to this. Ad shega'ar bahen Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan said, until Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai literally chastised the doors. And what did he say? Amar lo. Heichol, heichol. Why do you continue to frighten yourself? I know that you're going to be destroyed. Zechariah Ben Edo has already testified about you. He quotes over here from the pasuk from Zechariah. Pisach Livanon de la Secha. Open up Livanon your doors. Livanon means the Beis HaMikdash. V'tochal ish ba'azarecha. And the fire will consume your cedar wood. So Yochanan ben Zakkai is yelling at the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you, when he says, why do you continue to frighten yourself? What he's really saying is, why do you continue to frighten the Jewish people? We know you're going to be destroyed. The Navi already told us you're going to be destroyed. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Tavloi. Lama nikra shmo Livanon. Why ultimately is the Beis HaMikdash called Livanon? Shemelavin avonosein sheis. I will say, so beautiful. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called, you know, Livanon? Why? Because it's strange also. Livanon means Lebanon, right? So, right, why is it called Livanon? Because the Beis HaMikdash cleanses the sins of the Jewish people. I will say, Livanon in this context means what? Lavan. White. White, the Beis HaMikdash purifies. Amar Rav Zutra. Bartuvia. Lama nikra shmo yar. Why is the Beis HaMikdash? Another name for the Beis HaMikdash is yar. Yar literally means forest. Tichsiv Beis yar ha-livanon. Lomar lecha, ma yar melav leiv, af Beis HaMikdash melav leiv. Rabbi said to teach you that just as a forest blooms, so too the Beis HaMikdash blooms as well. Rabbi said, what does that mean? Rabbi, I just want to point out something interesting as well, which is, you know, you would think that people see this stuff happening 40 years. They see these omens. Forget about that. 1 year, you're sitting in, you know, remember, we already saw earlier that before the sun came up, the Azar, the courtyard, was already packed with people on Beis HaMikdash. So everybody sees that the red wool is not turning white. So you would have expected that people would see that and it would spark just a major tshuva movement. But you see, human nature is very interesting. That people often are, people, external signs are only meaningful if you choose to internalize them. People live with cognitive dissonance all the time, where they know certain things are correct, they know certain things are reality, but they just choose not to internalize or think about them. So it's just such a profound and powerful insight. The writing could be on the wall. The truth could be right there in front of you. And what you need to do could be clearly apparent, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you actively do it. Just incredible insight. So the Gemara goes the following. The Gemara says, why do we call the Beis HaMikdash a yar, a forest? To say that just as the forest blooms, so too does the Beis HaMikdash bloom. What does that mean? The Amar of Hoshea, B'shah Shebana Shlom, we actually quoted this earlier. When Shlom Melech built the Beis HaMikdash, Nata bo kol minei megadim shalzav. Listen to what I say. He planted golden fruit trees. Obviously miraculous. Golden fruit trees. Vahayumotzien peros pizmane. Listen to this. Imagine this. And the golden fruit trees would yield. What do golden fruit trees produce? Golden fruit. Right? Of course. So right, they would go ahead and produce golden fruit. V'cheven sharuach min hashev espan. When the wind would blow. Hayunoshin perosayen. The golden fruit would come off the tree. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, Yirash kilavano pirio, umehen haisa parnosa likuhuna. And Abba Osai, again, who would get to keep the golden fruit? This became, the Kohanim were able to keep it. And Abba Osai, this became a source of parnosa for the Kohanim. What did they do with the golden fruit? They sold it. They sold it. And they made money with it. But when again the idolaters, the nations of the world entered into the Beis HaMikdash, Yavshu, the fruit trees dried up. Shene emar uperach levanon umlal. Literally, the flower of the Levanon will wither. But ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring back these golden fruit trees. Shene'emar paruach tifrach visagel afgilas v'ranin kavod ha-Levanon nasan lo. Ultimately, paruach tifrach means it will once again blossom. Fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. Nasan Ashne Asirim. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Eser Pamim, Maskir Kohen Gadol Es Hashem, Bobayom. The Kohen Gadol mentions the name of Hashem 10 times throughout the day. Gimel Bevidui Rishon. Both say three times in the first time he says Vidui. Shlosha Bevidui Sheni. Another three times in the second confession. Ushlosha B'Seir HaMishtaleach. Three times with the goat that is sent away. Ve'echad Bigorolos. And one time with the actual drawing of the lots. Ukivar Amar Hashem. Also listen to this. And when the coin would go ahead and say the name of Hashem, the shame, Nishma Kolo B'Yericho. His voice would be heard already in Yericho. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Rashi, I'm sorry. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Rachana, Mirushaim liYericho, Es Asara Parasol. So now we say that when the Kohen Gadol would say the shame, it would be heard in Yericho. And what's the difference from Yerushalayim to Yericho? Is 10 parasols. Now we'll say again, 10 parasols is approximately 80,000 amos, which is more than 20 miles. So ultimately, they would hear the voice of the Kohen Gadol more than 20 miles away in Yericho. So we'll say, obviously, this is miraculous. We actually saw this earlier as well in other contexts. Vitzir delasos haeichal, nishma bishmona tuchumi shabbos. And we'll say, the creaking of the hinges of the doors of the Beis Hamikdash, meaning when the doors of the Beis Hamikdash would open, there would be some creaking associated with that. That sound was heard for more than 8 Tchum Shabbases away. All right. Izim, listen to this. Izim Shebi Yericho, Mis Achos Mirech HaKitoras. So the goats in Yericho, which again, more than 20 miles away, the goats in Yericho used to sneeze from the smell of the Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ketores was so strong that 20 miles away, the goats were sneezing because of it. Nashim Shebi Yericho, Ein Tzrichos Lehizbasim, Mirech HaKetores. Furthermore, the women in Yericho would not have to buy perfume. Why? Because they were perfumed by the smell of the Ketores in Yerushalayim. So intense was the smell. Kalav Shebi Yerushalayim, a bride in Jerusalem, a bride in Jerusalem would not have to put on perfume. Why? Because she was naturally perfumed from the Reich HaKetores. And we'll say, the reason why it says over here a Kala versus Nashim is because traditionally Kala put on a lot more perfume than a Stama woman. So Stama woman, if you were in Yericho, you were fine. The Ketores took care of you. But a Kala would only have to perfume even more. If she was in Yerushalayim, she didn't have to perfume at all. Why? Because the scent of the Ketores was so intense that it perfumed her. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, just by the way, you should know, interestingly enough, why isn't this Hana'ah with the Ketores? Right? Why isn't this getting benefit from the Ketores, which is Asr? Because remember, this is incidental benefit. Incidental benefit is not Asr when it comes to sanctified items. Obviously, if one were to go out of her way and to go ahead and go up to the Azara, you know, and start, you know, moving around to go, that might be a little bit more problematic. But stam, the incidental benefit that comes from it is not halachically problematic. to get, I don't know. So the Gemara is defined. Amr Rabbi Yossi ben Dolgai, Izim hayu la'aba bahari Michmar. My father had goats in the hills of Michmar. And I will say, I don't know where the hills of Michmar are exactly over here, but apparently, again, they were someplace at a distance from Yerushalayim. So vahayu mis'atshos mirech HaKetores. And my father's goats used to sneeze because of the scent of the Ketores. 40 kilometers. All right, so this is twice, so this is almost, so this is even further than Yericho. All right, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abin, Amar Rabbi Yosho ben Karcha, Sach li zakin echad. One time an elder told me, Pam achas halachdi l'shilo. One time I went to Shilo, ve'hirachdi reach kitoris min ben kos leha. And I was able to smell the smell of the kitoris from between the soles. And I will say, remember, what is this referring to? The Mishkan was situated in Shilo for a good amount of time. So this elder said to me that even now, hundreds of years after the Mishkan was gone, I still what? The smell of the Ketores was still present in Shilo itself. Amar Rabbi Yanai, we'll now back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Alias Gora Mitoch Kalfei, ma'akva, hanocha ina ma'akeh. So I will say, there are two parts to the gorel process. There is the actual drawing of the lots, and there is the placement of each lot on the goat. They would literally place the lot down, and they would put it on the goat. Rabbi Yannai says, the actual drawing of the lots, the actual drawing of the lots is ma'akeves. Ma'akeves means it's a necessary part of the avoda. You can't do the goat avoda without having the drawing of the lots, but the placement of the lots is not ma'akev. So meaning if for some reason the coin did not actively place the lots on the goat itself, that's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I mean, you should do it, but it's not ma'akev. So the Gemara says the following. Look at Rashi just a moment. Alias gora mitoch kalfi ma'akeves. Avoda she'ina si'irim misparshin zela ze. Ze l'shem, excuse me, v'zela azazel. Ela api agora l'fichach. Sarech liros eiza ala b'yamin. V'yei sar shal yamin nikva bo. V'eiza ala b'smol. V'yei sar shal smol nikva bo. So we'll say again, according to Rabbi Yannai, in order to know which goat is which, you must draw the lots. Aval hanacha, Rashi says, shal goral al ha-soyer, eina ma'akva, afilo lo hinicho alav, shari hukva shalemim begora sha'ala b'yamin, v'chein sar ha-smol begora ha-smol. But we'll say this, Rabbi Yannai says like this, as long as the Kohen Gadol actively draws the lots, remember, he has a right hand, he has a left hand, there's a goat on his right, there's a goat on his left. So what happens? The one that he draws, the lot that he draws on the right, that designates the goat on the right. The one that he draws on the left designates the goat on the left. And he need not what? He need not go ahead and place the lots actively on the goats themselves. You should, but if you didn't, it's not ma'akev. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, af aliyah eina ma'akeves. Rabbi Yochanan says, even the drawing of the lot itself is not ma'akev, is not a necessary part of the avodah. Rabbi says, so apparently what Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying is what? is that Lamaisa, the Kohen Gadol could actively designate each goat, even without what? Even without the drawing of a lottery. So fundamental machlokas, look at Rashi. Af aliyah ina ma'akeves, ve'im yikra ha'kohen, shem chatas ala achos, v'shem azozel al chavero, Hukva below hargala she'in hargala ma'akeves ela shechiser mitzvah. So we'll say, so here you have Rabbi Yochanan suggesting the drawing of the lots, that's a mitzvah. But if you didn't do it, you could still designate each goat how? Just by a simple verbal designation. You just say this one is La Hashem, this one is La Azazel, and that's it. So fundamental machlokes. So the Gemara says, one second. Aliba de Rabbi Huda de Amar Dvarim ha'nasim b'big dilavar mi b'chot lo ma'akva. So I'll say, according to the opinion of Rabbi Huda, who we'll discuss later on, Rabbi Huda says that all parts of the Yom Kippur service that are done in white clothing, mibachutz, outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they're not ma'akev. Those pieces of the veil are not ma'akev. So according to Rabbi Huda, according to Rabbi Huda's position, certainly the drawing of the lots, which is done in white clothing and done outside, is not ma'akev. Ki pligi, who would the argument be in accordance with? Ki pligi, the Rabbi Nechemya. Why? Because Rabbi Nechemiah says, the following Rabbi Nechemiah says that even the parts of the avodah that are done in white clothing outside are ma'akev. Man do'amar ma'akva k'Rabbi Nechemiah. So the one who says that this avodah of the drawing of lots is ma'akev, he holds like Rabbi Nechemiah. Uman do'amar lo ma'akva, and the one who says it's not ma'akev, hani mi li avodah. When does Rabbi Nechemiah say, Rabosai, that parts of the service that are done in white clothing outside are ma'akev? That's only with an avodah. Hargala lav avodahi. But perhaps the drawing of the lots, everybody would agree that what? Is not an actual avoda. Ikeda amri, others say, aliba de Rabbi Nechemiah dara ma'akva, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, who says that parts of the service done in white clothing outside are ma'akev, koli amalo pligi de ma'akva. Everybody would agree that the drawing of the lots is ma'akev. Ki pligi, where do they argue? Aliba de Rabbi Huda. According to Rabbi Huda, says what Rabbi Huda says, that services done in the white clothing and done outside are not ma'akev. Man da'amr lo ma'akva k'Rabbi Huda. The one who says that the drawing of lots is not ma'akev holds like Rabbi Huda. Uman da'amr ma'akva, and the one who says it is ma'akev, shayni hacha disanya bay kra, asher Allah trey zimni. Rabbi Huda says, maybe even according to Rabbi Huda, this is ma'akev. Why? Because the pasuk goes out of its way to say what? Asher Allah. The lot that came up twice, which indicates that what? The drawing of the lots is a fundamental part of the Avodah. So Rabbi say what comes out over here is the following. What comes out is a twofold fundamental machlokes. We have machlokes Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yana holds that the drawing of the lots is part of the Avodah. And if you don't do it, you have compromised the goat service, the seer service. Because according to Rabbi Yana, you cannot designate a seer la Hashem and a seer la Azazel without what? Without the drawing of the lots. The placement of those lots, when we say placement, the active placements on the goat, that's not ma'akev. Why is that not ma'akev? Because the truth is the designation occurs even without the placement. How? How? Because remember, there's one goat on the right, one goat on the left. Whatever lot the Kohen Gadol drew with his right hand, that designates the goat on the right, even without the placement of the lot on the goat. Whatever he drew on the left actively designates the goat on the left, even without the placement of the lot. According to Rabbi Yochanan says, even the drawing of the lots themselves are not ma'akev. Even that, he says, it's a mitzvah. It's a good thing to do. But if you didn't do it, you have not compromised the service. If you don't draw the lots, how do you designate the goats? And the answer is verbal designation. The Kohen Gadol just makes a random designation. This one is La Hashem, this one is La Azazel, and you do not need lottery. What the Gemara is going to suggest now is that perhaps this machlokis somehow lines up with another machlokis that we'll see later on in the Mishnah between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nehemiah. Why? Because I'm also going to remember, Rabbi Huda is the one who says that all things, all Dvarim, all things that are done in big day lavad, white clothing, mibachot, outside, are not ma'akev. Rabbi Nehemiah says they are ma'akev. So the question is, can we line up the machlokis Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Nehemiah, or not? So Meretz Hashem will continue with the Meisve, two lines up from the bottom tomorrow. Again, tomorrow we resume regular schedule. Das Atzmachat 5:45. That will begin at 6 a.m.